Welcome back. You're listening to A Woman's World. I'm Purvi Shah, and I have here with me today writer and author Rajika Bhandari. We've just been talking about your book, Rajika, The Raj on the Move, and some of the creepy dak bungalows and circuit houses that you stayed at to research for the book. I'd love to hear what sparked your interest in travel in general, because it seems like some of your other writing has work has been on travel as well. And, you know, it takes a certain kind of personality to want to like explore all this landscape and particularly these areas that are not frequently traveled. So what brought you to be so interested in just exploration and travel in general?
I think I've always been a bit of an armchair traveler. And I would say that most of my actual travel and really exciting travel has really happened in the past 6 or 7 years. But even before that, I always wanted to read travel books. And some of my favorite authors have been travel writers like Paul Theroux and Pico Iyer and others like that, who are not just writing about the places, but it's as much about the place as it is about the people, and sort of a meditation on human beings and their in their environments. So I've always been very interested in that. And even going further back over the past couple of decades, every time I went back to visit and went back on my annual vacations to India, my mother and I would try and travel to some new destination within India. So I've actually been able to see a lot of India and see parts of it which are off the beaten track. And so I've done a lot of traveling in India, and then traveled a lot both figuratively in my armchair at home, as well as real travel in the past several years. And I think it's an interesting place to be as a writer, because more recently I've been asking myself the question on why there aren't more women travel writers. And I think that if you look at a lot of the really well-known travel writers, or at least most of the ones I've been reading and who have a more complete body of work, they're usually men. And so more recently, I've begun to ask myself that question on why. And I think one of the more obvious reasons is that in a very real sense, women are just cannot be as easily mobile as can men. So even thinking about a country like India, where I've been fortunate to travel travel a lot, it's just not that feasible and practical and safe for a woman to say, I'm just going to pack a backpack and go off the beaten path and just pick my own travel route and travel. You either always have to be escorted or you're with someone else, and which is why my mother, who's been by herself all these years, and I always look forward to our annual trips together, because it was really an occasion for both of us to travel together. So I think that that's an unfortunate gap in the field of travel literature. There are, of course, a lot of women writing now, but I think they just face challenges in a way that men don't.
That's interesting. I mean, obviously, you're pointing to some of the safety concerns, or just the ways in which one has to think about one's own security while traveling in various places. I guess I wonder, do you feel that being a woman makes you see landscapes differently or places differently? Do you feel like it makes a difference whether you're a man or a woman in doing travel writing? Or do you feel like, you know, being a woman, you saw these bungalows or circuit houses differently than you would have otherwise?
I think for me, it's sort of interwoven with the experience of also being an immigrant. I think it's being a woman and being an immigrant that it's just as I was saying earlier, heightened my awareness and my senses and my sensibilities in a way that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And that's in many different ways. A small example is many, many years ago, I was on the phone with my mother, and this was in the days before Skype and before all of the technologies that we have now, where it was really the phone that was the main way of keeping in touch. And I was talking with her, and of course, you know, my night was her day and her day is my night.
Yeah.
And I could hear all these sounds in the background that I had grown up with as a child. There was, you know, I could hear the thele wala outside, who was probably passing by outside, or the, you know, the vegetable or fruit vendor pushing his cart, and all these other sounds which are very much part of the fabric of everyday life in India, but are very different from the sights and sounds of the US, which as a society tends to be much quieter, more subdued than the sounds and the colors of India and some other
cultures.
Unless
you're in
like
a New York City subway, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Where you will get more than your fair share of an assault to the senses. Absolutely. So I think it's really heightened my awareness in those ways. But also as a woman writer, I've always been very intrigued by relationship issues and the relationships between men and women in the US and how they collide with culture. So really looking at the nexus of culture and relationships between men and women, and how all of that has really changed dramatically in the past couple of decades, with of course online dating and social media and the internet and what have you.
And so how does that kind of context seep into your writing? How do you feel? I mean, there's a couple of questions there. One is in the US context, you know, how might it seep in? But the other is, you know, in your book, I was really taken by all the description of the Kansamas and the relationship that they have to the houses. And, you know, I can see as you're talking about relationships, that seems to be one of the relationships that you were very taken by too. And so I'd love to hear more about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the common strand there is how people in their relationships relate to the past and the present. And what was really fascinating about some of these Khansamas, especially at this one circuit house in a city called Sagar, again in Madhya Pradesh, was that three generations of these cooks had worked at this building from the 1800s. And there were two generations there when I visited, and the old father could recall the time when soldiers from during the time of World War II had come and camped at the circuit house, because it's probably not a very well-known fact, but actually there were soldiers from all over the world who were stationed in India during World War II. And so he had all these really fascinating stories about the past. So I think in all of my travel explorations too, and in a lot of the writing, whether travel related or not, I'm always very interested in this notion of how someone's past and history is influencing their present. And I think for me, in sort of the more contemporary context, and in looking at relationships that women have with men, I've, and as a single woman myself, I've always been very fascinated by, for example, the relationship between South Asian or Indian women and non-Indian men. The relationship between Indian men and women who have immigrated to the U.S. as a couple, and then how a totally different culture has affected the dynamics of their relationship. And
so what have you noticed in those contexts? What are some of your observations?
Well, perhaps this is my bias, but what I've observed over the years is that there are more Indian women who have non-Indian partners or who have American partners than the reverse. Mm. And although I am a researcher, I have no data to speak of. And this is purely my observation and perception and perhaps a bias. And I think the reason for that is that for a certain generation of Indian women, or perhaps a couple of generations, moving away from India to more of a Western context really resulted in a sort of emancipation and opening up and moving away from a more patriarchal culture where really they were seeking more in their relationships. And I think that for Indian men of the same generation, it was really in their favor to maintain the status quo, because they were coming from a culture that's patriarchal, that in many ways favors the man. But I think it has begun to change for the current generation, and I see that in the new cohorts of even young Indian women students who are coming to the US, where they are so different from those of us who left India and came to the US perhaps 10 years ago or even 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's really fascinating in terms of generally just our understanding of relationships, rights, and responsibilities, you know, and what that means in terms of having a partnership versus a conventional, you know, husband-wife marriage, or, you know, which is amazing given the conversations right now happening in the U.S. about marriage equality and, you know, diverse relationships and what it would mean to have a partnership based on ideas that are not conventional to certain, you know, traditions, or what it would mean to, like, you know, be able to be a husband and, you know, have to work all the time, or to be a wife and you're supporting the family inside the home. And just that whole context is broken when, you know, women start to work or you go to other places and that sense of travel happening. So I can see that you must have been tapping all of those ideas as you've been making these observations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, in some ways, I don't want to say the book was a departure for me, because it certainly brought together a lot of my interests, including the travel and the historical elements and all of that, and my fascination with old buildings. So it certainly brought together all that, but some of the other things I like to write about are quite different, and those have been more in the form of personal essays or memoir type writing, where I've really dwelled on this idea of multicultural relationships, and a lot of that writing is actually on my website. So that's definitely an area that continues to intrigue me.
Interesting. And what is your website? What's the URL, just so folks can take a look at it?
So the URL is rajikainc.com, and not ink as in incorporated, but ink as in the old-fashioned writing ink. So it's spelled rajikainc.com.
So, you know, your name is Rajika, which, you know, is tied to the Raj. Did you think about that as you were writing this book, that you would have a book that's sort of after your name as well?
I didn't actually deliberately think about that when coming up with the title, but subsequently it did occur to me that does the title have all sorts of other connotations?
Yeah, because it's the Raj on the move, and you are also a kind of Raj on the move, right, as you're writing this book. So I think it's an amazing kind of play in terms of the history, but also your life.
Yeah, perhaps. Though I have had it happen where non-Indians will occasionally try and take the liberty of abbreviating my name to Raj. And that is not okay with me because, as you know, that's a man's name. Yeah.
That's great. I think it's amazing, again, one's own sense of oneself and then, you know, what other people perceive in terms of that. I feel like part of what you're saying in terms of being here in the United States and then kind of re-encountering Indian history is fascinating just in terms of that you now have a point of comparison by being here. And in that vein, I know that you had a book launch here in New York City and also one in Delhi. And I'd love to hear, you know, what were those book launches like? And did they feel different in any way? Or, you know, did it feel actually quite similar?
That's a great question. And actually, the launches were great, but in very different ways. What was absolutely amazing about the New York City one was that three women showed up, two of them American, and the third was the well-known writer and many-faceted Indian actress, etc., Madhur Jaffrey. But also these two other American women who were quite elderly, and they somehow heard of the event, and one of them brought her photos of the 1950s with her.
That's amazing.
Of these old dark bungalows that she'd stayed in India. And so that literally, it was just really transformative for me because I really wondered whether this book would be of any interest to a New York audience. And here were these women who had seen, been able to see a whole different side of India because of these old buildings that enabled them to stay in these remote places and travel all over. So that was very exciting. The book launch in Delhi was very different and great in a whole different way because we had a great turnout and so many people could relate to these buildings. And there was a very lively discussion and people had their own stories and experiences. And the conversation was, I was in discussion with Pushpesh Pant, who in India is a very well-known food critic and writer. And he, and just an incredibly humorous person. And he had all these amazing stories to tell. So it was a very lively evening, very interactive, and it was just great.
It's amazing how in both these spaces, despite how different the locations are, or maybe similar in terms of cosmopolitan, but that people wanted to share their stories of having been at these dak bungalows or circuit houses. It's amazing that, you know, this book has enable that kind of conversation. So we're going to take a short commercial break right now. And then when we come back, we'll hear a little bit more about Rajika's work as a researcher and other sources of inspiration.